Well, again, greetings, everyone. I mentioned I have an announcement to make. I thought I'd introduce it in the introduction portion of my sermon because it comes at a shock. I just found out this week my brother has bone cancer, and he was in for surgery this week, and they removed the growth that was on his arm. And while they were doing the surgery, they found it was in the bone. Now, anybody who's familiar with bone cancer knows sometimes it's throughout the entire body, so it's a hard one to diagnose. It's a hard one to treat, and the results aren't always successful. So if you would pray for my brother, his name's Ron. He's a young 60-plus, so he's a senior like myself. But he's going through a lot of decision-making. He has to make decisions. What is he going to do? Is he going to have faith in God and trust in God for healing? Or is he going to try to do things on his own? He has to make some major decisions. So keep him in your prayers. And while I was thinking about this week, when I found out that he had bone cancer, I thought, you know, I know a lot of sick people. We read about sick people during the announcement time of individuals who are dealing with health conditions, situations that we wonder, why is there so much sickness? Why does God allow so much sickness? Why doesn't he heal everyone when they cry out in prayer to them and to the God in Jesus Christ? And we understand that it's according to God's will, and his ability is capable of healing. We understand that. We know that. But it's God's choice. He chooses who he heals and who he doesn't. But you know, when we think about all the sickness that's going around, and Linda and I and Joyce, I'm sure she can tell you about individuals that we deal with on a regular daily basis. There's just so much sickness. It's just amazing. And as time has progressed, it's interesting, statistic-wise, we're some of the most healthiest nations in the world. And yet, there's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of serious sicknesses, serious to the point where it actually has led to many individuals dying very young. And you start thinking, is there anything we can do to prevent sickness? We think about that. Is there anything we can do to prevent sickness? Now, there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of things, and I'm going to talk about some of these things today, things that we can do to help. Now, I'm not saying prevent sickness. I'm not saying that. I'm saying help in living a healthier life. Things that we can do to live a healthier life. That may prolong our life. It may improve our lives, as the Bible talks about. The Bible talks a lot about health, about conditions. But we also know there's circumstances, just like my brother's situation. There are circumstances. There's cancer in our family. I just found that out. Niece also had cancer, Kim Clucker. Of course, she was Moser. She was diagnosed with cancer on the nose, skin cancer. So it's not just a one-time situation that's occurred in my family. It's been a reoccurring condition. My aunt has had 5 different types of cancer. My father has experienced conditions that they thought were cancerous, but apparently it hasn't produced cancer. So it's in my family, and these are wide range of age brackets. My brother is in his 60s. My niece is in her 40s. My aunt is in her 90s. And so there's no age factor here that just says, okay, when you get 80 years of age, you're going to get cancer, or you're going to have heart conditions, or you're going to have other complications. None of us know the number of our days, what it comes down to. Only God knows the number of our days. And why does he allow some to live a full life and some to live a short life? There is reasons for everything. But you know, I want to give some statistics here today about health and what possibly we can do to improve our health. Again, I'm not saying that these are preventions because only God knows the number of our days. So it doesn't matter how healthy you are. You could be very, very healthy today, and next week you could suddenly find yourself unhealthy and dealing with a condition. Health advancements in Western civilization in the modern era has begun amazing transformations. Just amazing technology that has been advanced in the medical field. Human life expectancy, not too long ago, about 150 years ago, was around the age of 40. And I remember reading about Indians. I have an Indian background, so I wanted to study a little bit about Indians. And most of them died well before the age of 40, which is interesting. But now with the advances that we have today, the average person can now expect to live well past 80 based on the medications that are available, which is more than twice the long life of the Indian generation that I grew in ancestry of. They credit a lot of this through medical treatments, medical conditions that has been done so much to extend life and improve health. Surgeries that have taken place to provide a new lease on life, correcting life-threatening conditions, enhancing the quality of life. And so the medical field has done tremendous research on improving life's conditions. Body parts can sometimes be replaced. You know, back when I was growing up, I remember watching the Bionic Man, and we can make him better, we can make him faster, we can make him stronger. And they were using all these parts, and he became the Bionic Man. Now, some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. That was a television show back in probably the 60s or maybe the 70s. I'm not quite sure exactly when. But now that's true. That is true. They can actually produce body parts and replace body parts in the body, and making us stronger. Maybe not faster, but stronger. World's health conditions, healthcare are spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce health curing diseases. And one of them is cancer. Growing up as a child, I remember reading about cancer and thought, well, that doesn't happen very often. But now, when you read the paper, how many people have died of cancer? A large percentage of those individuals that have died of cancer. We live longer and healthier lives, but along with the longer lives, sometimes we have conditions, what's called old aging. Now, some of us are getting to that point where we start wondering, what is old aging? Well, when I was a young fella, I used to think 50 was old. And then when I got to 40, I thought 60 was old. And then when I got to 50, I thought, 70 is getting pretty old. Now that I'm 60, and my dad's 83, I'm thinking 90 is pretty old. Maybe 100. My wife says she's going to live to 100, so that's old age. But you know, old age is just a description. It's just a term that people use. So none of us know what really old age is, because some of us live to 30s, some of us live to 40s, some of us live to 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and maybe even 100. I saw in the paper 104 the other day, and that's quite a life, 104 years. But you know, the major study shows that the majority rate from heart disease has been dropping. Did you realize that? The heart disease has been dropping since 1963. They found that the life cycle changes. And what was causing the drop? Interesting. Diet. Diet and smoking habits. Quit smoking, eating a better diet, and suddenly your health improves and people are living longer and the heart conditions is declining. Now, this is from the Wellness Encyclopedia, this information. Rather than new medical treatments, which is interesting, the new medical treatments is helping. But it all comes down to just basics, diet and quit smoking, which will reduce about half of the number of individuals who have had health conditions. So let's consider some of the things that we can do. Principal practices of health, very basic, nothing that we probably don't know already, and many of us have been doing most of our lifetime if we follow the biblical principles of clean and unclean foods. We've been doing that, and there's a purpose for that. by practicing these health laws that are in the Bible, they have helped us to live longer and healthier lives. But again, I mentioned there are circumstances beyond our control. Genetics plays into that, environment plays into that, and other circumstances, which is well beyond our control. And so even if we try to live as healthy as possible, that doesn't say you will prevent serious health conditions. Now, God wants us to live healthy lives, and you can I'm not going to turn there, but you can read John 10, verse 10, and you can look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. God wants us to live productive and healthy lives. He really does. And it's His desire to bless us. For obedience, He'll bless us. You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Have you heard that phrase? I know I've heard that several times. You are what you eat. So if you're eating healthy, you're going to probably be healthy. If you're eating unhealthy, well, there's a good chance you may be unhealthy. Eating is one of the most pleasurable activities that we can enjoy. Each and every one of us have the opportunity of enjoying. God intended it to be that way. He provided the wonderful taste, the nutrition in food that enables our bodies to be strong and healthy. And so it was God's desire for us to be strong and healthy. His creation is filled with wonderful varieties, nameless, unaccountable number of things that we can enjoy. And also things that we're not supposed to eat. He told us what was good and what was not good. And it was for our good health. It was for our good. Not to restrict us and say, well, you're not allowed to eat that, and put handcuffs on us and say, well, why? What can we eat? He tells us it's not good for us. Don't eat those things. And you can read about those. Of course, you know about those over in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Again, I'm not going to go into all the specifics, but take time to read Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 11. They tell you the good things to eat and the bad things to eat. But you know, that's based on biblical principles. We're living in a little bit different time, a little bit more modern times. And so the food they're eating now is not the same food they ate back in the Bible times. Back in the Bible times, they didn't have the processed foods that we have now. They didn't have McDonald's back then. And they didn't have all the fast food industry that's out there. And so we're getting an unhealthy diet because of the times we're living in. The appetites are pleasurable. I mean, a lot of people like to go to fast food restaurants. I don't want to just pick on McDonald's. So it's fast food in general is the term I want to use. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned about all the wonderful things we have available, but there's also a lot of bad things available. And that's why we got to decipher the good from the bad, just like in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where it encourages us, eat these things that are good for us. Don't eat the things that are bad for us. But you know, it takes time. I want to quote Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin observed that we should eat to live and not live to eat. That was one of his quotes. Of all the health practices and habits, diet is the area where we need to help ourselves the most, because that's where we stumble and fall the most. That's where we struggle because we go by our taste buds a lot of times, not necessarily because of nutrition. If it tastes good, that's what we want to eat. And most times we find ourselves, that's the worst. If we strictly go by taste buds, we're going to find ourselves on the short end of health. And we'll have a lot of complications. Historically, humanity's dietary problems have often consisted of general conditions of malnutrition. And that's hard to believe. We have all this food, but we're malnutrition. Hunger because of poverty in the world, we understand that. But here in our own country, we eat and we eat and we have malnutrition. And that's because of the conditionings of the food chain that's taking place. The genetically modified foods that's taking place. Brethren, I don't think there'll be famine of food in the future. I think there'll be famine of quality food and nutrition as time progresses. And I think that growing problem is going to continue to increase. And the consumption of junk food is just a regular part of society. It's a part of what a lot of us are involved with. And I understand sometimes when you're traveling, you don't always have time to sit down and have a real good meal. But you know, when you go out to a restaurant, a lot of it's microwaved, cooked. I don't know if you're familiar about microwave. I'm going to give you a little bit of background about microwave cooking because I'm familiar with that. When I was a young man, I was given the responsibility as a meter tester. And this was through Genair. I was a Genair representative. And they gave me a meter. And they would send me out in the field and they would have me measure microwave metering testing. And 9 out of 10 microwaves were leaking radiation in the microwave. And people were eating microwave foods that was contaminated. So even when they think a lot of times microwave cooking is healthy, they found out, no, it's the exact opposite because of the radiation leaking from the Megatron, which was called the Megatron, which was one of the master units in the microwave. And when I would go out and find all these microwaves contaminated, leaking radiation, I would have to go back, write up a report, give it to the repair department, and they would have to do a quote, what it would cost to repair the microwave. Well, most people say, $300 for a Megatron? I could buy a new microwave for that. And that's what happened. Most people ended up throwing their microwaves away and buying new ones. Those microwaves that were still working ended up on yard sales. And people were buying, man, I can get a microwave for $3. And they were thinking they were getting a bargain, but they were getting a microwave that was leaking radiation. So microwave cooking is not the solution. There was a lot of problems with the microwave. And that was back when I was doing Genair back in the 70s and 80s. I was doing that. And so they've improved the products. I have to acknowledge that. They've upgraded them. But microwave kills the food. It bombards the food. And so you're not going to get nutritional value out of your food by doing microwave cooking. And a lot of it is in restaurants, when you go out to restaurants. That's how you get your meal in less than 10 minutes. You ever notice that? You're sitting down in the restaurant, and about 10 minutes later, they're coming out giving you your food. That's because of microwave. If they were cooking it slow on the oven, it's going to take about a half an hour, maybe longer. And people get impatient. It's been an hour. We haven't gotten our food yet. Well, if you're waiting an hour like we did last night, maybe they didn't use the microwave. I don't know. That's a joke between Mary, Dennis, Linda, and I. We went out to a restaurant last night, and we ordered, and we're sitting and waiting and waiting. I ordered a Agnes burger, and Linda ordered an Agnes burger, and Mary ordered chicken, and Dennis, he ordered a full-course meal. And anyway, we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and the food didn't come. And I'm thinking, well, I've got a sermon to finish up, and I want to get home to work on my sermon, but the food didn't come, and it didn't come. And an hour later, we finally got the food. So maybe they used the stove. I don't know. But I have a feeling that our order got kind of shifted around a little bit, and maybe we were the last on the menu. But we did get it eventually. But anyway, that's just a kind of a tease there in reference to microwave cooking. It is faster. And we are a fast food society. Many nations follow the American lead. Hamburger, cheeseburger, French fries, and a Coke. Okay, that combination is the number one selling meal at McDonald's. Cheeseburger, French fries, and a Coke. Now, foreign countries, which used to do a lot of preparation of vegetables and fruits, are now offering cheeseburger, French fries, and a Coke in their menus. And they're finding a lot of foreign countries are experiencing the same conditions we are, health conditions, a degressing of health because of the so-called fast food industry, which can cause heart disease, strokes, and cancer in these foods by eating a daily or a continual diet of fast food. Heart disease, strokes, and cancer. These so-called diseases have affected the entire world now. At one time, it was only a few nations that experienced this, but now the entire world. Such dietary practices is called weight problems, and it's a serious problem. Weight problem is a serious problem. They took some statistics, and they said that children, and this is interesting, it says, One-third of children aged 16 to 24, now children can also go into adults, 16 to 24, are overweight or obese in the ages of 16 to 24. A 16-year study involving 115,000 nurses published in September of 95, now this was back in 1995, they found overweight as a majority contributing of health conditions for individuals. In these conditions. That included a moderate weight gain, as little as 18 pounds, because everybody's frame is different. Some are very thin. If you add 18 pounds onto a very thin frame, that's a lot of weight. Others had hundreds of pounds added to their frame. And so if you're a bigger person, like some of us are, we can take on more weight. But again, the more weight we put on, the more conditions, the higher percentage. Now, this is an interesting statistic. Overweight men are at a risk of anywhere from 30% overweight to 70% overweight are high risk of coronary heart disease and possibly cancer. So men are real known for, unfortunately, being overweight as they get older. As we age, our metabolism slows down and we suddenly find ourselves gaining weight. The key, overweight people are more likely to also suffer hypertension. Did you know that? Stress by being overweight. A low-fat diet is the key to weight control, as the studies have revealed. Now, this was back in 1995, which I find that very interesting. Here we are, 2013, and the statistics are even worse because the food industry has gotten worse and worse and worse. I mentioned about a low-fat diet is the key to weight control. A study from the Harvard Medical School looked at 141 women ages 34 to 59. Now we're getting in more towards the middle age, age 34 to 59. And what they found was virtually no correlation with calorie intake and body weight. So they were holding pretty well. They were doing pretty well, that age bracket. Now they were trying to figure out why. What they found out was some very interesting statistics. Number one, they were eating better. Number two, they were exercising. Number three, they were sleeping consistently. So they found that their eating habits were good, their dietary habits were good, and they were exercising. So these were all very, very important factors in contributing. So those of you who are age 34 to 59, you're doing a good job. Apparently, according to these statistics. Now, some will laugh and say, yeah, you don't know my cousin or you don't know my aunt or whatever. Well, that may be true because that's just one part of the equation. Now you have the other equation where people are suffering heart problems and dietary problems. According to the American Cancer Society, about one-third of 500,000 cancer-related deaths in the United States are contributing, once again, to fast food industry. One-third, which is an amazing statistic. Once again, food is a high-fat protein diet. It's a problem, brethren. It's a problem. And it's something we don't really fully comprehend sometimes until we're in that condition. High levels of meat consumption can cause colon cancer. They've linked meat consumption to colon cancer. Oh, there goes my steak. Well, again, high consumption. That's the key word, high consumption. It's okay, brethren, to eat meat. And I'm not saying we should totally eliminate it out of our diet. What I'm saying is we have to use balance here. And all things moderation. In the past, and I have to include myself, whenever I went out to a restaurant, it was meat, meat, meat. Chicken, beef, whatever it was, there was always meat on my plate. But they're saying that if you eat high consumption of meat, you have a greater a chance of developing colon cancer. The disease is sometimes 10 times more in meat-eating industries, societies, than in the less nations that use a lot of vegetables and fruits. So what they're finding is 10 times greater, which is amazing. Those who depend on food plants for fiber have less complications. So again, that's encouraging. Consumption of rich diet of fruits, vegetables, grains, and beans can reduce the risk of cancer. These foods are all rich in fiber and low in fat. So I want to encourage you to, if you have to, adjust your diet. And say, beans? Ugh, beans? Yes, beans are good for you. And fresh fruits and vegetables are great, and grains. These fruits are rich in fiber and low fat. And they also contain benefits like vitamins and minerals. So not only are you getting the nutrition of vitamins and minerals, but you're also getting the fiber, which will help prevent the risk of cancer. Okay, I said help prevent the risk. That doesn't say it will totally. A few years ago, the National Cancer Society instituted a 5-day program. The idea was to exhort everyone to eat combinations of at least 5 fruits a day. I remember that growing up. In fact, I think it was 8 at one time. They reduced it down to 5, so we don't have to consume as much. Well, I'm a person that likes fruits and vegetables, but 5 a day, that's a heavy load. But brethren, it's for our good. It's for our good. They're encouraging us to eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. Not weekly, but daily. That's a lot of fruits and vegetables, but it's for our good. And so you can see diet is a big, very important part. The evidence for the benefits of eating lots of fruits and vegetables is overwhelming. The statistics are just astronomical. Scientists argue, however, that there's many issues. But everybody agrees that the increasing intake of fruits and vegetables can help prevent heart disease, cancer, and other chronic diseases. Now you also have the other coin side of the coin where people say, what about all the sprays that they use on the fruits and vegetables? See, that's one of the problems. Unless you raise your own fresh fruits and vegetables and raise your own cattle for meats and chicken, eggs, and for eating, we have no idea what we're eating. We're getting a lot of sprays and chemicals, and that's why we're living in very difficult times, brethren. The conditions in the world are getting worse and worse, and the sprays and the chemicals are so strong. We have a patient that just came into our opportunity of serving, and she has cancer, and she lives in an agricultural area. And the neighbor was spraying a very harmful chemical on his field. And she, unfortunately, she didn't realize it. She had her windows open, came in, she breathed it, and she had a major setback when she was in the process of working with her cancer. She went to her medical assistant, and they found out about the chemicals and stuff, and they asked her to move away. She had to actually move away from her own house. And she had to wait for the chemicals to subside so that she wouldn't be inhaling or breathing these chemicals from her neighbor's field. So even when we try to live in our own environment and try to control our own environment, sometimes circumstances around us can affect us, like in that situation. So brethren, these are hard times. We think sometimes we go to the grocery store, we're buying fresh fruits and vegetables, and we're doing ourselves good, which we are. We got to wash them really good. The fresh fruits and vegetables in the store usually have a lot of sprays because they're shipped from California this time of the year or Florida. And in order to preserve them from spoiling, they're going to spray them heavily to keep them from spoiling. And if you buy the fresh fruits and vegetables at the local grocery store, you've got to clean the vegetables really, really well and the fruits. Otherwise, you're going to digest chemicals. And they're linked, I mentioned about statistics, they've linked cancer to the sprays and chemicals coming off of the fresh fruits and vegetables. A healthy diet doesn't have to be bland, though. You know, sometimes you think, okay, I got to make all these adjustments now. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. Everything's going to be kind of what I don't like, fruits and vegetables. Fruit's not so bad for most children, but I know vegetables for a lot of children is like a no-no. But you got to eat the vegetables, guys. Yeah, you do. They're really good for you. So I want to encourage you that. The meats like poultry, fish, dairy products also are very wealthy in nutrition. So it's not so bad making adjustments because there's a lot of wonderful foods that we can eat. Meats in moderation. I've talked about poultry, fish. Again, we don't always know where we can get some of these. If we don't raise it ourselves, we're going to get maybe some not so good, but fortunately, here in this area, a lot of times we do have access to organic foods, which does not use sprays or chemicals. So we do have access to organic foods that will help benefit our diet. So if you can, try to eat organically as much as possible. Again, you got to stay within your budget. We all have a budget we have to stay with. Sometimes the foods are a little expensive, but you'll find if you eat healthier, you're going to eat less because you're going to get more nutrition. So the diet is very, very important. Let's look at Psalm 90. We'll look at verse 10. Now here it says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now, the point I was bringing out is, we all think we have a long life, sometimes because the Bible emphasizes 70. But times are changing, and things are affecting our lives and shorting our days of our lives. Now again, we understand God is in control. He knows the number of our days. But brethren, we also have to consider our diet, because these statistics are alarming, to realize that if we just continue to eat the fast food industries, processed foods, we don't eat healthy fruits and vegetables, we are subjecting ourselves to some serious conditions. Fruits and vegetables are a favorite part of diet of many people. And so, like I say, we're very, very blessed to be able to have wonderful grains available as part of our diet. Fish is very, very good as a substitute. Now, we don't eat pork. We understand that. If you go to the medical, which is interesting, I find this very interesting. If you go to the hospital with heart conditions, the first thing they want to take you off is pork products, because they understand there's a correlation between pork products and heart condition. Well, God tells us that already back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Don't eat the pork products, because you eat the pork products, you're going to have health issues. So that's why it's very important. The diet times of the Bible is probably more favorable for longevity, because they didn't have the chemicals in the spray, so they could eat all kinds of foods. But again, they had to stay within those guidelines because God was giving them what they needed. In David's time, it seemed that it was common for people to reach 70 years of age, which was not unusual. Here in Psalms, verse 90, verse 10, it says about 70, which is 70. So David knew 70 was not uncommon. But brethren, again, we're living in changing times. What's another area that we can emphasize very strongly in making modificational changes? Diet is probably one of the greatest, and I've emphasized a lot on diet, because that is probably the number one issue that we all have to deal with. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's look at verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profits little. Now that sounds like a negative perspective. Well, body exercise profits little. Well, I want to emphasize a little bit here. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promised the life that now is and that is which to come. Brethren, body exercise does profit little. If you're going to spend all your time exercising, you're going to find, and we do find a lot of people come to us, I imagine Joyce does too, people that over-exercise. They strain muscles, they cause all kinds of health problems because of over-exercising. That's not saying body exercising is bad. It says it profits little if you over-exercise. If you do exercise, it's some of the greatest opportunities for us to improve our health. Again, statistics verify that, and I want to emphasize. Results of over 10,000 men and 3,000 women were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it stated that there is solid evidence that physical activity people live longer. So if you're an active person, your chances are much greater that you're going to live longer. Fitness helping overcome all causes of mortality, including diabetes, cancer, and heart diseases. And that was from It's Better to Believe, from Dr. Kenneth Cooper. Again, interesting statistics. That's involved with 10,000 men and 3,000 women. They found that those individuals who exercised and used modern equipment even had vast improved health conditions. The Surgeon General of the United States released a report that stated regular physical activities reduced the risk for developing or dying from coronary heart disease, non-insulin dependent diabetes, which a lot of people end up doing, hypertension, colon cancer, and all kinds of conditions of depression and heart problems, to the development and maintenance of healthier bones, muscles, joints, and controlled weight. So again, the weight problem we talked about earlier can be controlled by exercising. Now again, not everybody likes exercising. I remember when I was younger, I could run with the gazelles, but now I run with the elephants. So I don't run as fast as I used to, but the point is I still exercise. I still try to do that, and we need to as well. In the wintertime, you don't get around as well. And now we're going to have nice weather. Last week was wonderful. 70, 80 degrees temperatures. We have lots of opportunities now to exercise. And Linda and I are going to go back on walking again. I promised her I would walk. And so that's one of the efforts of exercising that I need to participate, and you need to participate in exercising in one form or another. Now, a lot of us play basketball, and we're pretty actively involved, sometimes maybe too much. Got to be careful of strained muscles, I talked about earlier, because that's the detriment of over-exercising. Exercise need not be taxing to be beneficial. So it doesn't have to be a whole lot of exercising to be beneficial. Moderate physical activities such as walking in the yard. And my daughter used to tease me about picking up sticks in the yard. But that was exercising for me. When I would come home from a hard day's of work, I would go out and pick up sticks in the yard. Now there was a dual benefit to it. I got the exercise, but also cleaned the yard. So it was a dual purpose. But something as simple as walking in the yard and picking up sticks is exercise. Did you know hanging wash on the wash line is exercising? It is. You're stretching, putting wash on the wash line. Did you know walking up and down steps is exercising? When you go up and down steps, you're exercising. When you're bending, twisting, turning, stretching, you're exercising. So we exercise in ways we don't even think about. Walking the dog. If you have a dog and you take it for a walk, you're exercising. And that's good. That's great. Continue to do that. But I mentioned moderate physical activities such as walking, gardening. Anybody who likes the garden, you're exercising. And of course, there's all kinds of exercise programs that you can get involved with. There's walkers. People have walkers that they can exercise. But here's an interesting statistic here. Between 1985 and 1990, that's only a very short span of 5 years, Americans saw a 15% decline in exercise among people in their age. Guess what age? Take a guess. Anybody want to guess? 20 and younger. 20 and younger are not exercising. They're getting on computer. That was 1985. Here we are, 2013, and computers is a way of life. If we don't have a computer, we're considered antiques. And it's interesting because a lady came in the store the other day and she tried to tell me how I could save so much money on my electric bill. And she saw my computer and she said, just type in such and such and get in it. And I'm saying, I don't know how to do that. And she said, no, go ahead, do it. I don't know how to do that. You have a computer and you don't know how to do it? No. The computer's for my daughter-in-law and my daughter. They do research, they do purchasing, they do a lot of things. The computer's there. I purchased the computer. Linda gets on it from time to time, and she can get around better than I can. I know how to turn it on, so I am progressing. I can turn it on, I can turn it off. At the end of the day, I can turn it off. But getting around, Linda teases me because I can get into the sports. I can find out what's happening in sports and find out. While we're talking about health, did you hear about the baseball player who got his collarbone broken? He was pitching in a game and he threw a ball and the ball hit the batter. Now, from the video that I saw on the computer, by the way, it was just a grazed pitch. I mean, just kind of like grazed mulch. He got so angry, the batter got so angry, he ran out and slammed the guy on the ground and broke the guy's pitcher's collarbone. So I was saying about health conditions, there's so many ways that we can suffer, and there's an example of an individual taking anger out on another person and broke the guy's collarbone. Now, he's not going to be able to pitch, and he's one of those $140 million pitchers. So you can imagine the team, there goes our $140 million value pitcher down for 6 to 8 weeks, I think is what they're projecting, and they're not even sure he'll be able to pitch again. Because the collarbone is very, very sensitive. Sometimes it doesn't heal properly, and so you have to go through the process over and over again and keep healing. Excuse me. And so, I mean, it's just amazing. I mentioned 20 and younger are not exercising. It's a serious problem, brethren. And we have young children. Encourage your children to exercise. It's for their benefit. Now, I know a lot of the teens are very active here, and I compliment them for being very active teens, playing basketball, and some are in track and other activities at school. Now, unfortunately, sometimes injuries occur, and so we have to deal with that, but it's good to see that they're active. That's very good, and I want to continue to encourage each and every one of us to be active. Even us old-timers, we can still be very active. A recent study confirmed that as much of the physical losses that are set between the ages of 30 and 70. So a lot of times from the ages of 30 to 70 is where we really lose a lot of our muscle gain. Now 30 seems young, because I remember running up and down the courts at 40 and 50 and staying with all the individuals that were a lot younger than I was. But they're saying that's when we lose a lot of our muscle tone. At the ages of 30 to 70. So what happens is because we're not exercising, we're gaining weight. Weight becomes a problem. We're having heart problems, lung problems. When we exercise, we breathe deeply, and so that clears our lungs, and that makes us even healthier. But when we're not exercising, as it says, wellness conditions eliminate and causes respiratory problems. So you can see why this is coming. Number one, we're not eating well. Number two, we're not dieting. And we're not exercising properly. It's causing all kinds of conditions. And this is all the way down to age 30. You know, I mentioned about Indians dying before they were even 40. Well, you can read in the paper individuals that are dying well before their 40s now. On a regular, and a lot of it is contributed to these conditions. The fact that dieting plays a big part in it, and secondly, exercising. People are not exercising. We're spending too much time on the computer, it says. And I don't have the statistic here, but it says healthy exercise comes in many forms: running, cycling, swimming, working out at health clubs. Now, that can be a little expensive. So if you're on a tight budget, I'm going to give you some suggestions on exercising to stay within a tight budget. Now, this would be great for my brother because he always had a tight budget. He was always kind of one of those penny pinchers. And my sister, too. She's a penny pincher, too. So I'm going to encourage them. If your budget is too limited, it doesn't allow you to go to health clubs. It doesn't allow you to go to swimming opportunities or possibly cycling unless you have your own bicycle. Buy a moderately priced pair of shoes, running shoes. Okay, I say moderately priced because if you ever shop for shoes, there's a price range like from here to here. And so I want to kind of bring you more towards the middle. You don't have to buy the cheap ones because they're not going to last you long if you buy the cheap ones. But you don't have to buy the $200 or $300 ones either, which is going to destroy your budget. Stay within a reasonable price. Now, I'm not going to give a price because everybody has different ideas of what reasonable price is. But if you buy a decent pair of shoes, one for walking, you've won the battle. You won the battle of exercising because that's what you need. You need a good pair of shoes for walking. And I know I see Patty walking from time to time. I'm driving back and forth from work, and I see Patty walk. So I compliment Patty for getting her exercise in. But it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be overbearing.
For older people, those suffering from partially infirmities, even slow walking. And I used to go to the mall from time to time and see a lot of older people walking. And even a slow walk is benefit for individuals that are older because it will help, again, respiratory breathing. It will help with weight balancing and preventing osteoporosis. Did you know that? By walking, it can help prevent osteoporosis, which is a deterioration of the bones. Very, very interesting. In addition to exercises, especially combined with reduced fat intake, is weight loss. And that's a very, very important factor. As a nation, we are overweight. We are some of the most overweight people in the world. And that's why these overweight tendencies have a tendency to cause all kinds of problems. Now, again, there are genetic factors that play into that. If your ancestry had big bones, the chances are you're going to have big bones. So that term obesity can be misapplied. The fact is you need to stay within your weight of your body structure. A person that is thin has to weigh less. A person that is maybe a little bit medium built, they can take on more weight. A person that is large built can take on more weight. So you have to stay within those guidelines. And if you need to know those guidelines, it's a little confusing because there's a lot of different perspectives of how much you should weigh. It's based on height, weight, age. There's a lot of factors that play into that. But I find that if you're going to be active and you eat a good balanced diet, it's going to level that off for you naturally on its own. Current researchers support the notion that even if you remain overweight, working out and becoming fit will help you live longer. So even if you have a weight problem and you struggle with it, that doesn't mean that because you have a weight problem that you won't get benefits from exercising and eating proper diet. In one study at the Cooper Institution for Aerobics, which is located in Dallas, Texas, 25,000 obese men and women were given health examinations, including treadmill testing, body fat assessments. 8 years later, they were retested, and the men who were moderately fit were well fit and had a 70% lower mortality rate than those who were unfit. So that's a tremendous amount of changing in an 8 year period involving 25,000 obese men and women. 70% had a lower mortality rate than those who were unfit. Mortality rates also included were more influential in men fitness levels than those that had not taken care of their weight. So it's very, very interesting again. Now, a third area that is very, very important, we talked about diet, we talked about exercising, and again, I emphasize those very, very strongly. The next ones I'm going to go more quickly because they're important too, but you can see they're basically self-explanatory. Sufficient sleep is essential for all good health. If you don't get enough rest, you're going to wake up tired, you're going to be sluggish and hard to go into a day's work. And I can vouch for that. Getting up at 4 o'clock, I have to go to bed early. So I know the early the bed, the early the rise. And Ben Franklin was good for that. Laboratory testing among rats and dogs have demonstrated that animals will die if they're denied sleep. Did you know that? If you don't let your animals sleep, they're going to die. Well, that seems like logical sense. Although we can endure short-term periods of sleep, and some people can go on 4 hours sleep. That's amazing. When I talk to people and they say, well, I only get 4 hours sleep, I don't know how they do it, because when you're not getting enough rest, your adrenals drain. And your adrenals is like a car battery. It sends the spark to the body, but just like a car, doesn't want to go over. When your adrenals, I'm so tired, I can hardly go. You're like a car battery. Same scenario. And that's what happens when the battery dies in the car, the physical body is going to die as well. So it's very, very important to get a sufficient amount of sleep. Statistics can vary. I've heard anywhere from 6 to 8 hours sleep on a daily basis is very, very important. The key to sleep is restful sleep. A lot of people will sleep, but they don't sleep restfully. They'll sleep, wake up, toss, turn. I get a lot of those patients coming in for Linda and I. They're saying they're tired, they're not sleeping well, they're tossing and turning. And that's because several possibilities. Number one, they're drinking too much coffee, caffeine, which is keeping them awake at night. Drinking too much soda, which has caffeine, keeping them awake at night. And so they go to sleeping aids. They'll take all kinds of sleeping aids. And some of those sleeping aids make them so drowsy the next day they can hardly go. But there are some natural things we can do. One of them is drinking a glass of milk, which a lot of us don't even think about. I started drinking a glass of milk before I go to bed, and I found that I sleep, for the most part, pretty well. I don't always get my 6 to 8 hours sleep because sometimes I get interrupted with phone calls different times. But generally speaking, I get the vast majority of it. And they're saying most people need 6 to 8 hours sleep. Many people view sleep as unproductive downtime. And I've heard about people staying up till like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you can do that kind of situation, that's okay, but get your sleep. Okay, if you are staying up late, then you got to go to bed and sleep in the morning. So some of us sleep different patterns. Some have the 9 to 5, which is probably the most popular one of sleeping times, 9 to 5. But it's interesting. It says here, the United States Department of Transportation, now this is the Department of Transportation, estimates that sleepy drivers cause at least 56,000 accidents every year. 56,000 accidents are caused by sleepy drivers, people that didn't get enough sleep. A drowsy driver will make mistakes in judgment, and a driver will fall asleep at the wheel and threaten himself and anybody else nearby. So it is serious. It's something, again, we have to consider. Make sure you get plenty of sleep. Chronic sleepers lose the body's causes the body to reduce the resistance to diseases. Our immune system is weakened when we're not getting enough sleep. So it's very, very important that we get. Difficult sleeping remains the number one problem in America. According to several national statistics, between 15 and 25% of adult population gets less than 8 hours sleep. Now that sounds like a low statistic, 15 to 25. But if you're one of those 15 to 25, it's very serious. And you need to adjust that. You need to get more sleep. Several simple practices are available which can help reduce sleep and help you get restful sleep. Regular physical exercise. So you see what happens? We're combining the diet, the exercises, and now we're getting our rest because our body is tired. We're going to sleep. It talks about diet. I mentioned about milk. Milk is, it has natural melatonin. It can help us sleep naturally on its own. So if you're struggling with sleeping problems, try milk and see if that helps to sleep. There are natural sleeping aids too, which Joyce is probably familiar with. If you have questions on that, you can feel free to talk to Linda or Joyce about natural sleeping aids. And I mentioned about curb your intake for stimulants like coffee and soda and things like that. Don't drink coffee after 6 o'clock at night because it's like a fire. If the fire is down and you put wood on the fire, it's going to heat back up. Well, if you're eating and drinking foods 6, 7, 8 o'clock, that fire in your body is heating up. And so you'll sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up. And also tobacco, which most of us is not a problem for. Smoking is not an issue, but tobacco is a real serious problem for a lot of individuals. So I'm not going to go into that, but that's another area for those who do have a problem with smoking. Tobacco is an issue of health. We all know that. Scientists have linked there's 43 cancer-causing chemicals in tobacco, so you want to avoid that. Avoiding injuries is another area, and unfortunately, some of us do get into injuries. But if you can avoid injuries, please do that. This is an interesting statistic. If you are a physically low-risk driver, you are more than 1,000 times less likely to die in a car crash than a high-risk driver. So if you're doing the right things, if you're eating well and you're exercising and you're getting your rest, you're not smoking, you're not doing some of those other things that we talked about, you're less likely to have an accident because you're going to be alert, you're going to be attentive, you're going to be able to be observant, which is interesting. As a result of accidents, 2,087 children were killed in automobile accidents just in 1997 alone. Well, that's just the statistics for 97. I find that very, 6 out of 10 children were never secured properly in a seatbelt. So driving accidents is a very serious injuries. We talked about avoiding injuries. The same holds for more than 100,000 children who suffer injuries because of medical attention. So medical attention problems, conditions have existed among children now. It's becoming more prevalent. Hundreds of thousands of children are suffering injuries on a regular basis. Amazing statistics. Though injuries are generally not always serious, minor injuries, you know, bump in the head, stub fingers, playing sports sometimes. Traffic accidents is the number one killing when it comes to serious injuries. Household accidents come right behind it. Accidents in the house, accidents in the workplace. These are all different conditions. It's estimated that 90% of accidents could be prevented. That's interesting. 90% of accidents could be prevented. Major source of accidents are lawnmower equipment. Now, Ed works with lawnmowers, so he could probably kind of give you some details on that. Falls is another one, particularly falling off a ladder, which is very, very serious injuries. Children are particularly prone to accidents. Did you know that? Growing up as children, there's more potential accidents around the house, like poisoning, drowning, falls, accidental shootings, fires, and burns. These are among children accidents. So we have to watch our children and encourage them to be careful around situations where they can get seriously hurt. These are all conditions. A complete personal health care program will include guarding against accidental injuries. Wise people are wary of danger. We have to be aware of danger while the careless stumble into trouble. Let's read about Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And we'll look at verse 3. It says, a prudent man foresees the evil, and I'm going to emphasize the evil of potential accidents, and hides himself. But a simple passes on and are punished. And what's the punishment? Usually the punishment is some kind of an injury of some sort. But a prudent man is observant and watching and trying to avoid potential accidents or evil. So it's very, 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 very simple. We just need to avoid injuries as much as possible. Now, injuries will happen. I mentioned about all kinds of conditions, bicycle injuries, not wearing a helmet while riding bicycles, motorcycle accidents, swimming accidents, you name it. There's all kinds of potential accidents. Falling down, I mentioned about climbing up and down ladders. It's all serious conditions, but if we can avoid injuries, that will greatly improve our health situation. Okay, I mentioned about smoking. Alcohol is a problem too. And brethren, the Bible does talk about alcohol. It is good for the stomach in moderation. That's the key. Alcohol use and abuse. Unlike smoking, alcohol is not a hazard condition, health condition. It actually improves our health in many ways. But that's in moderation. That's the key, moderation. Studies have even shown that consumption of alcohol in moderation can be extremely beneficial, especially in the digestive aiding, the help with heart condition. So a little bit of wine is good. However, excessive drinking damages the muscles of the heart. So you go from good in moderation to extremely bad in excessive, causing heart muscle damage. Researchers have proven that the tendency of many is to drink too much. So we have to kind of be on guard for that. We have to kind of curtail our drinks. Now, again, there's all kinds of questions. How much is too much? How much is moderate? There's a lot of factors that play into that. It says in 1999, a Gallup poll of 77% of respondents indicated that they drank some alcohol. So there was a high percentage of about 77% of people that were tested said they did drink alcohol. Sadly, many claim to have alcohol abuse. And so it is a problem. Alcohol abuse is a serious problem. It's the third largest killer in the United States, alcohol abuse. And so it's a problem. And growing up in the church, I remember we never drank alcohol when I was growing up before we came in the church. When we came in the church, I remember seeing a lot of people drinking alcohol. I thought, okay, well, I can learn to adjust here a little bit. And so I had to learn to drink alcohol and consume alcohol. But if you're not used to drinking alcohol and suddenly you start drinking alcohol, it doesn't take a whole lot to feel funny and have that buzz feeling. So that's why it's very, very imperative. You're going to have to do it in moderation. If you start drinking alcohol heavy when you never drank alcohol before, you're going to have problems. And addiction is one of them. People start out drinking alcohol and they can become addicted to alcohol. So you got to be real careful with that. And I knew growing up in the church, like I said, we went from not drinking alcohol to a little bit of alcohol, and I felt the effects of it. And I have to say, I was in my younger teenage years. Alcohol was available, and so I experienced it. And I have to say that you do have to use moderation in all things, because it can cause addiction. And one of the biggest problems is traffic accidents with people drinking and driving. So again, these are all conditions that we have to be on guard for. It's interesting. Alcohol abuse can be also cause brain damage, liver damage, pancreas damage, cardiovascular damage, and excessive drinking can also cause cancer. So even when you think, you know, something as simple as drinking can cause cancer. So it's very serious. In all things, moderation. The Bible also forbids the use of alcohol beverages in excess. We understand that. You can read Psalms 104, verse 15. Because of time, I'm just going to refer to it. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. It does talk about benefits in 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. And I don't want to discourage people from drinking. Alcohol is fine in moderation, in all things moderation. But be careful. Even Jesus Christ, and a lot of people use this as an example, at the wedding, remember when they drank the wine, they said, we need more wine, so he makes more wine, and hey, this is the best wine yet. And it sounded like they drank a lot of wine. But when you space it out among the number of people that were at the wedding, Christ was not going to set an example of overindulging. It was all in moderation. So even that example has its questionable, and that's found over in John chapter 2 about the wedding. The Bible does give strong warning about abuse over in Proverbs chapter 20 and Ephesians chapter 5. A drunkard will not be in the kingdom of God. It's very clear. He will not be in the kingdom of God. It's very clear. Alcohol abuse is a threat to not only your spiritual life, but your physical life. And that's what we want to talk about. Our physical life is so important. God wants us to be strong and healthy. He also wants us to have a healthy body, which is the tabernacle for God. And if our body is not strong and healthy, we're not only going to be physically sick and weak, we're going to be spiritually sick and weak. Because when we're physically sick and weak, we don't want to pray, we don't want to study, we're too tired, we're sick, we don't feel well. But if our bodies are strong and healthy, and we are striving to keep our bodies physically strong and healthy, we can be strong spiritually healthy, because we will be more actively involved in studying and praying. And we won't have those times where we're just too tired to pray or too tired to study. Alcohol abuse threats not only your physical but your spiritual life. And all these do the same. All these conditions do affect us physically and spiritually. Another avenue to think about is a positive attitude. A positive attitude goes so far in improving our health. If we stay positive, and I like to give Kathy Charles's example, she stayed a positive attitude when she was diagnosed with cancer. And she went through that whole process, and she was able to deal with that. But she kept a very positive attitude. And I contribute not only God in healing her, but also Kathy's part of keeping a very positive attitude. So that's interesting. Again, there's all kinds of studies on a positive attitude. And there's also studies of negative attitude. So if you keep a positive attitude, that's what we want, but we don't want the negative attitude. And that's what really, negative emotional hinders the body's immune system. And again, when the immune system's weak, we're going to get sick. And then that could cause all kinds of problems. Merry heart does good, like medicine, but a spirit broken dries the bone. That's over in Proverbs. You can read about that, Proverbs 17 and verse 22. The truth of these words are borne out not only in the Bible, but even scientists will acknowledge that. They'll accept that. A very positive. Medical field says, stay positive. If you stay positive, you can fight cancer. Many people have fought cancer with a positive attitude. And so these researchers, including the University of London, studied excessive number of women who are dealing with depression, negative attitudes. And they found that the survey conducted 15 years later, keeping a positive attitude, many of these individuals overcame their depression, they overcame cancer, and serious health conditions. They were free from cancer in about 70% of the women that were tested 15 years later. So again, a positive attitude is very positive, but a negative attitude also has a reverse effect. Of that 17%, it said 45% of the other individuals who had a negative attitude died within a very short period of time. So see how negative attitude weighs heavy on the body too. So very, very important. People need people. We all need to encourage one another and help one another. It's not easy to do all these things that we talked about. But brethren, we are living in very difficult times. The whole food chain industry has changed dramatically. Our food diet is terrible. We don't exercise like we should. We don't sleep like we should. We don't keep positive attitudes like we should. Excessive smoking, excessive drinking. These are all weighing heavy, and the statistics are alarming. The number of auto accidents, injuries, that is all comprised because of not taking care of ourselves is what it comes down to. God expects us to be a holy temple, to be a physical body that is strong and healthy, and one that He will dwell within us. If we're not physically strong, if we're not physically healthy, and we're a weak foundation, He's not going to stay within us. We can spiritually lose our salvation. As we talked about, drunkards will not be in the kingdom of God. And so we need to take this very serious. We are living in times where health conditions is vitally, vitally a concern for each and every one of us. Brethren, pray for my brother. He's got some serious decisions to make. Pray for all those that you hear about that are dealing with injuries, that are dealing with health conditions. The world is made up with a lot of people dealing with some serious diseases, health conditions. And it's only going to get worse. But brethren, there are things we can do to help, not necessarily cure, but at least possibly prevent some serious complications. In the kingdom, a lot of these things will be eliminated. Cancer, I feel, will not be a part of the kingdom, and other conditions will not be part of the kingdom, because our food supply will be restored again. The water that we drink will be healthy again. The air we breathe will be strong and healthy again for our lungs. The exercises that we will be doing will benefit us greatly. And we won't have all these conditions that we currently have now. And that's why this world needs the kingdom to come as soon as possible, because it's only going to get worse. The times ahead are perilous times. Brethren, do your part. Do whatever you can to improve your health. Again, God knows the number of each and every one of our days, and we just have to take them as they come.